And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I've known them for at least, I'd say, probably most of 35 years, when indeed I interviewed Daniel O'Donnell's sister, Margot, who was a huge hit in Ireland with her band. And she was doing, she might have even have done better had the kid brother, Daniel O'Donnell, not arrived on the stage. Daniel, first of all, Daniel O'Donnell, you are most welcome to the program.
It has been lovely to speak with you. It's been a good while since I talked to you in the studio there in New York.
Can you bring us back, though? My God, is that 35 years? It is. 35 years.
Well, I don't know that it's that. I would say it was about 1990.
Yeah.
I think it would be about 27 years ago since when we came out. And the first show we did was at the Town Hall. And then
Yes.
We went into Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yes.
The following year.
No, I'm talking about...
So I think it was 1990.
Yeah, but I'm...
Oh,
I'm
Margaret would be... When Margaret was there, 82.
Yeah.
35 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, she was, Margaret, your sister Margaret, who went by the stage name of Margot. Margaret had established an amazing reputation, you know, as a band leader in Ireland. Mm. Did you... imagine yourself as, you know, as an entertainer, as a singer. Where did that, the great gift of music and singing, where did that come from in your own household? Was that on the O'Donnell side or your mom's side?
Well, it comes from both sides, really. I didn't, my mother's, one of her brothers in particular and her father were good singers. I mean, I didn't know my grandfather, but my uncle was a very good singer, my mother's younger brother. And on my father's side, my father sang, and his brothers and sister and his father as well. So the singing comes from both sides, really, of the house. But I don't know that I imagined growing up that singing would be what I would do. Certainly once I always sang, now, I have to say. I never, you know, remembered him when I didn't sing. But I was in my teens when I got this thought, you know, that if I could spend my life this way, it would be a fantastic thing to do. And from there, I suppose, the seed was set and it grew.
Yeah. Did, when you decided... you know, that you would be joining a band, and if you were a singer, the norm might be to play an instrument, so you get two for the price of one, so to speak. Had you, you know, tickled the ivories at any point? Had you tried guitar, some kind of musical instrument?
Well, in the beginning, Margaret sort of thought I should learn the guitar, and I did go for lessons. And I have to say that I always had it in my head that if I learned the guitar, I might never get out from behind it. So I never took it seriously, and I don't know, now... I won't say I regret it, but I'd love, I suppose, if I wanted to still, I could sit down and learn it, maybe, you know, or try at least. But I always had that thought that I wanted to sing more than play any kind of instrument. So yeah. I don't think my heart was in playing an instrument. It was always in actually just singing and being out front.
You know, you're throughout the world, and I say that because it is true. Your fans and your gigs for those 35 years has taken you to places in the world that we wouldn't even find on the map. But you are known as the Irish crooner, the Donegal crooner, the man from Donegal, and of course Daniel O'Donnell says it all. There would, without Daniel, there wouldn't be Donegal, and without Donegal, there wouldn't be Daniel. The parochial image, which I'm sure is promoted and has been from Donegal, how do you see yourself? Is being known as a crooner, is that a compliment, or do you just take it for whatever it is?
Well, I suppose it is. I mean, there have been some great singers who have been sort of dubbed crooners. You know, lots of the great singers of the past, they would be, referred to as crooners. So I can, if I fall into that category, I'm very flattered, really. But I love, I don't really mind, I suppose. I'm kind of hard to categorize because, I sing about the Irish songs. I sing a lot of country, sing bit of rock and roll, so it's kind of hard to put a label on what I do. So maybe that's why people have all these different sort of interpretations of what kind of title they should give me, but yes. I suppose I'm a singer that sings a lot of songs.
Yes, well, I think also most people would maybe had they if they were trying to categorize you, because you've done an amazing amount of television, and you do more. Your personality, you compare your presence. If I had a shot at categorizing you, would be really a showman, because it is more than singing. Of course, you express and you have your own presentation of songs. There's no mistaking. But also, maybe because you have the freedom without being shackled by an instrument. You're able to roam the stage. You're able to really ooze that enthusiasm that you have for singing and your songs, which I'm sure you've developed along the way.
Well, I love the interaction with the audience too. I love the whole thing of performing, and that's a big part of the enjoyment that I get, is having that interaction with an audience. So I do a lot of different things, and a more, maybe in the last 10 years I've done more television than I ever did before, and I enjoy that too. But what I enjoy most, I think, is the live concerts, with an audience. It's certainly for me the most rewarding aspect of the whole, music business for me.
You have, your bag is always packed, outside of Ireland, and particularly, I would say, in the UK and throughout America, the loyalty of your fans is crosses generational. You're now catering to not just the mammies, but the grandmammies, and to see that you have appealed to now, to three generations, that must be pretty satisfying.
Sure, it is great, really. To do something that you really enjoy, and that people enjoy it too, and allow you to. I've been singing now, as you said. I've been singing myself for, started 36 years ago, but in my own band since 1983, so that's 34 years.
Yeah.
And, I could never have anticipated that my career would be as it has been and as it is. So I'm very grateful and very fulfilled. you know, and what I've got to do. And, you know, I never thought that we would, you know, travel to so many places, like you said, and, you know, that people, and a lot of time people with no Irish, you know, it's not because we're Irish, it's just, you know, and the Irish doesn't hurt you, you know, a lot of people, they have a great affection for Irish singers and Irish music. But, you know, a lot of the people when we go to Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada, they are just people from these countries, albeit that maybe they have this, you know, this soft spot for Ireland. But there was, a lot of them would have no connection at all. So the music, I suppose, has no boundary or no barrier.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're currently catching up with you in London. You're in the middle of a UK tour. Tell me about the venues. That do you find yourself returning to mostly the same venues? Is there an association?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, generally you do.
But your audience, with decades, I'm sure you now find that there is a great, you have great rapport with your audience, no matter where you are, but your fan club must be incredible. And how did that get started?
Well, that started, I suppose, more or less when I started out myself. The fan club was a big part of people, you know, wanted to know more about what you were doing, and that's really how the fan club started. I don't know now, and nowadays, if fan clubs are as, you know, quick to start because of social media.
Yes.
You know, everything is available there, but we still have a fan club, and people still, you know, wanted to continue, those that are members, because they get out this, you know, a newsletter, and some places, you know, they get, you know, pre-order tickets and different things. Yeah, we finished tonight in the Palladium here, the London Palladium. We had a show last night and one tonight, and that sees the end of this run of shows here. And then I'll go home tomorrow, and I'll be at home then until I come to New York next Friday to be there for the Mary from Dunloe dance, which I'm looking forward to on Saturday.
Yeah, well, you know, Dunloe has a very special meaning for you. Weren't you born and bred and buttered in Dunloe in County Donegal?
Well, I was born in a wee village. I was born in a wee village called Kincastle. I was actually born in the hospital in Dunloe, but I was brought up in a wee village called Kincastle. It's about 6 miles from Dunloe. And I was there at the very first festival. I can remember the first. It was 1968, and I was only six. And I can remember the excitement of it all. And from there, you know, the festival has been a huge part of our summers in Dunloe. It's like a benchmark of what happens throughout the year. All sort of culminates with the festival, and people gather, people come at that time of year. And it's still a very big part of Dunloe. And this being the 50th anniversary of the first festival, and of course in New York, the 50th anniversary of them sending girls to take part or represent their centre at the festival. It's a huge thing. And when I was asked, when Anne-Marie McCullough, you know, contacted me on behalf of the committee to see would I come, I really was anxious to come, and it was only a matter of seeing when come. And they very kindly arranged the date sort of to suit me, because I know normally they would have this dance much earlier, but this was the only Saturday, believe it or not, that I could come to something for them. So I'm delighted that it's worked out, you know.
Yeah, and I'd like to remind our listeners that the New York Mary from Dunloe Irish Gala dance will be taking place actually next Saturday, starting at 7 and running on until midnight, and then some, I'd say. and that Donegal's own Daniel O'Donnell indeed will be the featured not only performer but guest. I'd say there'd be many a one that you will meet next Saturday from Donegal, and Donegal people actually have a great claim on you, and they're very proud of what it is you've done, and you in turn have definitely promoted your own home county, as you travel throughout the planet, the globe. Donegal is a beautiful spot and has been, and you obviously have a soft spot for it. You live there. That is your home. Your warmth and your promotion of Donegal is something that you really have put a lot into, Daniel.
Well, you know, I suppose coming from Donegal, I love Donegal. I don't have to say that, but you know, I suppose when you travel away, you realise just how nice home is, and I think that goes for anybody anywhere in Ireland. You know,
yeah.
I would try to, you know, tell people about Ireland and about Donegal especially, and through the years, a lot of people have travelled to come to shows, and you know, from Australia, from New Zealand,
yeah,
America, Canada, and all over the UK and different places that we do shows. So in the summer when we do our tours, you know, we could have up to maybe 500 or 600 people travelling from outside Ireland to come and spend a holiday. And it's great because I think, you know, those that come, maybe our music or the shows bring them to Ireland. It's the Irish people in Ireland itself that bring them back. And many of them make return visits because of the hospitality they experienced and the warmth,
yeah,
of the people. So I'm really only the introduction. It's Ireland and its people that, you know, make people return.
Well, definitely Tourism Ireland are doing something right, because it's just phenomenal success with, you know, big increases, annual increases in tourism from all over the world, but in spades from North America. And I just want to ask other things. There was a pishrog at one time that says, to be discovered in the arts, you have to kind of leave Ireland and return with some degree of success under your belt, whether that's as writers or performers or whatever. Do you find that, in fact, that some of that might in fact be true? You nearly have to leave to come back as an overnight success. What is your own experience with that?
Well, I suppose that's the case for some. You know, I was lucky in a way. I recorded my Donegal show,
mm-hmm,
and Stand Beside Me, the first two songs I recorded in 1983, and they were the songs, really, especially my Donegal show, originally that got great attention on the radio, especially local radio,
yeah,
around Ireland. I was doing, you know, better in the UK initially, maybe, you know,
yeah,
for a couple of years going to the Irish centres. But once the record, you know, got attention on the radio, it was a kind of an instant thing then all over Ireland. And really, you know, we've never looked back. And, you know, the audiences at home are still terrific.
Incredible,
and, you know, we,
yeah,
still do a lot of shows there.
Actually, when I don't know whether you do it every year, but this year, you are back home for the month of August, and we know there's a lot of people who are traveling from here anyway, on our side of the Atlantic, are looking forward to concerts, because you go from Kilkenny to Belfast, Galway, Cork, Limerick, Wexford, Drogheda, even my home county of Castlebar, and of course Bundoran, to How do you prepare? Do you have change your repertoire, say for Ireland, and for that matter, when you go to whether that's New Zealand, Australia, or Butte, Montana? Do you feel the people, your audience, and try to match your repertoire, or the other way around? How do you measure an audience?
I suppose every night you'd read an audience, but the repertoire changes, but not drastically from one country to another. You know, from night to night, we make a notion to sing a different song.
Or
you might get a request for something and include that. But I suppose the fact that we have had shows on public television throughout North America, people that are coming, they kind of know what to expect before, a lot of them anyway.
Right.
You know, they're seeing it on TV, so they're kind of aware of some of the music that I would perform. But every night, if you got requests, and we would try and cover it if we can.
Now, your own bands, your own orchestras, those who are around you mostly travel with you, and but when there are times that you wind up in some places and you don't have your own band, do you find that a particular strain? How does that work? I know for some performers they get quite rattled by that, and they need a couple of days of preparation if it's a new band and new arrangements. And what's with Daniel O'Donnell on the person like?
I travel with the same band everywhere, unless I just go for the dance next week. I mean, I'm sure I'll sing a few songs, with that. And I won't have my own band for that. But generally the musicians that are there are very accomplished, And when you're only singing a few songs, it's easy, to fall in with what they're doing. And then there's always, now in modern times, you can have the music, on a track, and you can sing
backing track.
And the band can accompany that as well, that's there, so they can play along with that, and one complements the other. But I take my own band when I do concerts and tours of my own. I have this band travel with me. There's 10 of us. Well, Mary Duff and myself, and one backing singer, and 7 musicians. We go everywhere together.
My God. You had mentioned earlier about the success of your first record, Stand Beside Me and Indeed My Donegal Shore. Many have, for as each year goes by, we hear the drahokel, the word the recording industry, that the CDs, that the all of the hard copy music disc record, that day is long over, and yet we see that the opposite is true. Despite social media, what is your own take on that, and the traditional CD, disc, whatever?
Well, I think that, depending on the type of music, I suppose, when you look at the more modern music and younger people, they're very much into this downloading, and that's the way a lot of them work. But I think our audience like to get the physical CD or album,
absolutely,
or whatever you think, it's a CD always. I think they like to have that and play it in that way. More or less, I think I would be right in saying that. But I think downloading for the younger people is certainly, more prevalent. Although a lot of them like to have the CD too. So it's very hard to say what, You know, I always think, you know, when you're in a circle, you have to get round to where you started eventually. And I think the music business is like that. It can turn all sorts of ways, but at the end of the day, how far can you go?
Absolutely. And again, you know, we all know with the internet and so forth, you can log on to any newspaper, magazine, whatever it is, but there's nothing that only gives you a taste, and it's far from gloom and doom. People do like to have something, and they feel they have it, and not just in a database. What, Daniel, do you, in terms of recording now, have you been there, done that, or do you still record, and if so, is it something that you do occasionally? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I do. We record every year, I'll be recording now again in July. We had an album released in February, live album. And I'm going to record another album in July. We have one already recorded from last December. It'll be a live album again, but it's of a show we did in Dublin, a Christmas show. So that'll be released around the end of November. And then the album we're doing this summer will be released at some point too, you know. So, yeah, I record a lot. I think it's very, very important.
Isn't part of the thrill also for audiences, people who go to live concerts, they want, on the way out the door, they want to bring that with them. They're not about to go and download anything. That becomes part of their evening, a permanent record, as it were. Well, and that system is not going to die, you know.
That's very much so. I mean, people like to go to, and I think if you go somewhere and you enjoy the music, you want to bring something back with you, you know, and we find that, and, you know, just to have the albums there, they always have loads of albums, different, I mean, I've recorded, you know, between 40 and 50 albums. So they try to carry, you know, maybe they would have as many as 20 different titles at any given show, so there's plenty to pick from.
That's great. We look forward to your coming to New York, and again, being from Mayo, I have to remind our listeners that whereas, you know, my guest Daniel O'Donnell, he may be owned by Donegal, and definitely if you have any doubt about that, you can ask anybody from Donegal. But you have an amazing array of followers, and as you admitted earlier, a great number of people who don't have any Irish affiliation with any of the counties of Ireland. So we look forward to to having you. Will you be around this year? Will you be in Donegal for the Mary from Dunloe festival itself?
Yes, I'm going to be. I'll be there for the whole week this year. Again, for the local committee, I said to them that I would commit to being there to go to different functions. And on the final night, I'm going to do the interviewing of the girls on stage for the. Just because it's the 50th anniversary. I did it for a while, you know, a number of years ago, a few years for them. So they asked me would I do it again, and I said sure, for this year I would do it. So we're really looking forward to the festival this year. And I'm really looking forward to coming to the event in New York. Because I think it'll be a great night. I know it's a great night every year, and I feel very privileged that they would ask me to come for such a big event as the 50th year. So
it's
thanks
huge.
To everybody there in the committee.
Right, and for those who indeed...
The New York show band is there too.
Yeah.
Michael O'Driscoll, I've been talking to Michael, so they're doing the music. So looking forward to seeing and hearing them and sing him a few songs.
And actually, Daniel, you're going to be in the Palace Theatre in Albany on a few days after that, on the 17th, I believe.
That's right. We're doing a tour. We start in Boston then on the 16th. We're in Boston.
Right.
We start in Boston. And then we go on around. We're in, you know, we're in, we have four shows in Pennsylvania. We're in Philadelphia and Reading and
yes.
Wilkes-Barre and somewhere else. I can't remember the other. Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And then we're in Syracuse and we're in Albany and all lots of other places throughout the States as well up until the 17th of June.
That is terrific and we look forward to seeing you. Nice spending time with you, Daniel, and for information, friends, on Daniel O'Donnell coming to the Astoria Manor in Queens and the Grand Ballroom, that's the Astoria in Queens, and Anne-Marie McCullough, I give you a contact number for her, 718-361-1847, and her cell number 347-596-6104. We look forward very much to shaking your hand and listening to you live in New York next Saturday. Daniel, thanks for spending the time.
Thanks very much, Adrian, and to everybody there, and hopefully see us all on next Saturday.
Terrific. And friends, Daniel O'Donnell, and you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.